Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, happy Wednesday. It's the What Culture Gaming Podcast. And you might be going, wait a minute, it's the What Culture Gaming Podcast. Doesn't Scott always intro these? Where is Scott? Why are there only two people? Well, Scott is too busy playing Destruction All-Stars, I believe. I think that's his new game of the year, as he was talking to us about the other day. So he's taken the day off to play Destruction All-Stars, and me and Josh have got to keep the ship afloat. Josh, how are you, by the way?
Dude, I'm all right, but he's going to kill you for that. If he finds out you've been peddling libel about his love for that game, he's not going to be happy when he comes back in here. But I'm good. Thank you very much, yeah. Benroy. Always a joy.
Everyone tweet Scott and ask him what he's thinking about Destruction All-Stars. Do it for us, please. Hashtag WCGP. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Scott anymore today. We're here to talk about the big tall lady because yes. SEO and we want your clicks. No, also because Resident Evil 8 is coming up very soon. May, the same month as Mass Effect Remastered Trilogy, around Deathloop as well, and another game that I'm forgetting, but there is already too much, and I'm very sad. Returnal, that was the game. But Resident Evil 8 is coming out, and we love Resident Evil here at What Culture for the most part. A lot of us love it. A lot of us like to talk about it and dive into what's going on. And of course, you can tell if you're watching this, I love me a bit of Resident Evil as well, so we're just going to take some rumors, we're going to take some predictions, and we're going to dive straight into what is all about Resident Evil 8. And at the end, I played the Resident Evil RE versus beta, whatever they want to call it, and some impressions of that at the end as well. So stick around, or we won't timestamp it because, you know, we don't have the bodies for that. So Josh, first off,
hello. Yeah, I'm going to jump into some rumors that have been coming out over the past few weeks. Most of these are from The Aesthetic Gamer / Dust Golem, who has been reporting and leaking stuff on Resident Evil in general for years and years and years. Leaked a lot of Resi 8 stuff specifically at the start of last year before we officially knew anything. But essentially, they've been out of the game for a while. They gave up their leaking habits, but they've still teased a few things about Resi 8 recently, including the fact that apparently the word the developers are throwing around right now is Metroidvania when it comes to the open world design. Obviously, we've known for a while that the titular village in Resident Evil Village is being pitched as essentially a character in and of itself. That's what the developers like to keep saying. Like, they want this village to be a living, breathing place that is interconnected. But according to The Aesthetic Gamer, the developers are really leaning on this idea of having this small open world that you backtrack through, more like the Spencer Mansion from Resi 1, where you're going through places you've already been, you're unlocking new doors, you're finding out new and interesting avenues, which I love that stuff when it comes to Resi games. Like, I'm here for that kind of approach to level design. I thought Resident Evil 7 was great up until the point it started moving away from that, and then it chucked you on a tanker and it got a bit more linear. Like, I love having a space and being able to, you know, just explore it and uncover all of its mysteries. And I think Resident Evil has such a sense of place, you know, with all of its locations, whether it's the Spencer Mansion, whether it's Raccoon City, whether it's the Baker House, that I love living there, and I want to see them build on that in this game. So I hope this is, you know, on the money. I want to see this come true, can happen.
Yeah, I think we all want to see some sort of return to that sort of like the scale of I too love the Resident Evil one, Resident Evil Remake one, of just going around that mansion and getting to know it. And especially in, I feel like in Remake one, where the longer you went around, the more dangerous the mansion got. And you had to, like, say, going back to, like, say, I'm trying to think of what the red ones are called now. I can't even remember. I want to keep saying
Crimson Heads.
I had Pale Heads in my head for some reason. But Crimson Heads, like, you have to decide, do I want to take the zombie out now? And then do I have the time to backtrack and burn it down and sort of thing and go through that? So I like the idea of that. And I think we've been theorizing for a while, like with the RE4 remake, like imagine that that first village area was maybe like more open. You could go, because you do come back to that central village bit, like say three times in that sort of game, but it's always in a linear fashion and it's never like popping in and out, like just going and grabbing some of Salvador's potato sacks and just going through that. So I'd like to see, say like the village bit on the outside. We've heard rumors for a while, open world, and I like the term Metroidvania instead, because we don't want an open world Resident Evil game, because like horror in the open world, like sure, someone can probably make it work and some probably has made it work, but come on, like not everything has to be open world, and we don't need giant worlds as we've seen before to make things impressive. Like Resident Evil 7 is now the best-selling Resident Evil game of all time. Take bits from that and don't take anything from the second best game selling game over Resident Evil 6, because you don't want to take anything from that really, apart from the characters that survived. But yeah, I feel like treating it like a Metroidvania and going in and out of the village and maybe being locked off at points, and then maybe towards the end before you got to finish it, like some of the doors open, like if you want to do some cleanup or not cleanup, if you want to go and get that doll's head that you didn't get earlier for your little trophies, then go back and get it now, sort of thing. So I'm down for this. I'm down for Dusk Golem's first prediction.
I think it's good, just because we're playing as Ethan Winters, at least for the most part. That's a rumor to come. I'll get to that soon.
Yeah.
We're playing as Ethan Winters, who's more of a civilian, you know, compared to someone like Leon or Chris or Claire or Jill or whoever. And I feel like it makes more sense for him to be exploring this, because the mystery isn't just going to be handed to him. Presumably, he's going to have to figure out what the hell's going on, what's going on with Chris, why he's in the village to begin with, what's going on with these tall vampire ladies. And I think that encourages a greater focus on exploration. So yes, I think we're both big fans of this. The next one in the same tweet thread is a little bit interesting, because Dusk Golem goes on to say that in this Resident Evil game, there's going to be, or at least they tease, nudity and sexual content in the enemies, in terms of like essentially not like sex scenes specifically, but in terms of the designs of the creatures. And they mentioned that some of them will, you know, show some nudity when they die, for instance, and there'll be kind of like this balance between showing off some flesh and showing off these monsters, you know, as kind of like these mangled humans, which is interesting because it's something the Resident Evil franchise has always flirted with, but usually they just transform people into like big eyes or goop or mold, you know what I mean? So we don't really see them as humanoid as such, apart from the zombies, obviously, and the Ginados from Resident Evil 4, like the big monsters though. And I think that's quite a cool continuation of what they established with the Baker family in 7, because they were very much so like these distorted humans. And then obviously we had Marguerite with her big spider vagina. So, you know, maybe that's going to be even more explicit going forward.
I was wondering how far you're going to take that. I'm glad you went and mentioned, brought Marguerite up. But I just said it in a voiceover earlier, when you, if the Resident Evil 7 feels like you're walking through Marguerite's dinner, and then I almost said something totally wrong, and that was a whole time. But with Resident Evil 6, you had like Helena's sister, I can't remember exactly her name, but she basically becomes a naked, sexy lady, but has no nipples sort of thing, and there's a lot of things like that. And I feel like horror in general, especially like in film, always horror and like sex and sexual imagery and that sort of thing is always so tied together. So like if Resident Evil can pull it in and bring that into the more of the forefront and do it in sort of a tasteful way, but still on the sphere, have the hokey sort of like B-movie qualities we all come to know and love from it. So I'm sort of here for it. And it makes sense if because these tall ladies are going to transform into a thing. I'm sorry, but a big tall lady, she's going to become sort of some sort of tiring thing. Like it's just going to happen. Her clothes are going to rip off. You see what happens to like Mr. X and Wesker. Wesker got his chest out a few times. Everyone gets a bit of skin at some point, showing, and it's going to be hard to avoid it, especially when they transform into something other than a giant eye.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think, like, the big distinction to make is, like you said, in previous Resident Evils, when they have done, like, nudity or they've tried to do it, it's almost, like, over-the-top, sexualized anime style. Like you
like
said,
Ken
it's
doll,
this...
like, there's no genitals.
Yeah, yeah, it is like a Ken doll, whereas this, it seems like they're going to, you know, commit to the nudity, but it's going to be far more grotesque and not sexualized in the same way. But moving on to... this is the most interesting one for me, and this actually was dropped, again, by Aesthetic Gamer, but it was... earlier on in January, like I think last week or something, where they were teasing multiple playable characters. Obviously, we know we're going to be Ethan Winters for at least the first portion of the game, but we know Chris is involved, so everyone's kind of assumed that we're going to be playing as him as well. And this is seemingly what they've confirmed in another tweet. They said that we're going to be playing as Chris for at least a small portion of the village. There are other rumors that suggest the entire second half of the game could potentially be Chris related, but they also tease a third playable character, and this character is said to be female, so not Ethan or Chris. And while I do want this to be Benroy, the tall vampire lady whose name I do know, but I will not mispronounce because everyone will come out to kill me.
I've so not said it enough to say it.
I know as tall vampire lady from now on. I think this could maybe be Mia. Obviously, if you've seen the trailer, you know that Chris shoots Mia dead, and that's how the game kicks off. That's the big tragedy that's the whole game is framed around. But we did play as Mia in Resident Evil 7 for like a little bit, and I wonder whether or not they're going to bring her back, because I can't imagine she's just going to be like, I can't imagine she has no other impact on this story than just dying, you know what I mean? She has to be involved somehow, and this is where we get into more predictions territory, I suppose. But
yeah,
I don't know if they would play that card in the trailer and then that's just her done. It just seems odd when she was such a focus in the last game.
I love it when any sort of story can just take a character and go, nah, dead, gone. But it just doesn't seem like in a Resident Evil fashion. Like when Chris just like, doesn't just shoot once, like more than double taps, because Chris has killed a few bio-infected people at these points. But yeah, tying in with like one of my theories I shot to you earlier, that isn't the real Mia, and Ethan's been living with a different Mia this whole time, and Mia was either swapped out back at the Baker family home because there's like underground facilities. You see more of that, not facilities, like underground. It's not like bloody underneath Raccoon City, whereas like, you know, yeah. I'm just gonna say the Hive, because you know, let's just shoot back to that in the films. But there was enough underground area where there was like bits where you could hide someone away. And I feel like Capcom love Jack Baker so much that he might have even made it out there somehow. Like, you know, we saw him die like 17 times. We saw him die. He comes back in the DLC. That is actually the last bit of the game, which is like, for some people who have not seen it, it's worth seeing that as well. But I feel like that either isn't the real Mia, or Mia died back. Either Mia's alive somewhere else, or Mia died back in the back at the Baker home, or tying into another theory prediction I'm just going to throw in here as well. I think Chris has gone, if you've ever seen Days of Future Past, the film at least, where Sentinels stop just targeting mutants, but they go, you might have a mutant child one day, so I'm just going to murder you. So it's gone, like, Chris has gone, well, you might become a biohazard threat, so I'm just going to murk you right now, and then we're sort of done. So yeah. Chris is jumping ahead of himself and cleaning that people out. But yeah,
no,
maybe Mia is alive.
Maybe. I think she's going to be playing a bigger role just because of what they're doing with Chris. Like, it is so fascinating, because I don't believe for one second that he's gone this kind of like edgelord, just murdering people, being that kind of like badass Terminator, you need to be stopped before you can pose a threat to humanity kind of thing. But also it makes me question, I don't know where they're going to go with it, and why we're seeing a version of Chris like this at this point in particular, because at the end of 7, like, he seemed like he was, you know, relatively sorted out some of his problems, like that he had in 6 with like the drinking and being kind of like really down. And I wonder how we get from that to where he is in the trailer for this.
I think, I'm just gonna say, Josh, I've got the predictions here when we spoke to each other in Slack. And if you look underneath, I sent you a picture of something. What other game has just destroyed a main character like straight away? Like, I'm just saying, like, it's been done before and it could happen again. And maybe this female character is either a Jill or a Claire coming back and trying to sort of like bring back Sankin to Chris, because he's gone through so much. Like, each one of these Resident Evil games are set the year they come out, pretty much, give or take like 6 months. So like from like 96, however, Chris has been trying to fight this off, and he keeps thinking he's done it, and it keeps coming back, and it's to the point where he's now just brooding and broken, and he can't, and everyone he works with, bar say like Claire and Jill, all die. Like, all his team always die. They always gone. Sheva just, you know, just disappeared. She didn't die. She just, they just, for some reason, don't want to bring her back either. And like, I just think at this point, you do it so much, you're just at this point, I'm just going to kill everything until it stops becoming a monster.
Yeah, maybe, man. Like, I never thought about them using this potential third and female playable character as being, you know, a Jill or a Claire or someone like that who's trying to get Chris back. I feel like we've seen potentially a version of that plot already done when Jill was obviously in cahoots with Wesker because of the mind control and everything like that. And we have seen that kind of arc of one of these main characters needed to be saved, but it would be much more fascinating than that, just because it does seem like Chris has gotten to this point naturally. It's like, it seems like this is the Chris that we know. It's not like a mind control version or like a control version or anything like that. And that would be more dramatic, I suppose, trying to pull him back from that edge.
He's been at it for 25 years. So like, that's got to be on you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't know how this fits in with the village itself, because I was reading a Famitsu article, or at least, you know, a translated version, a bullet pointed version of it. And they were saying that it was actually Chris who brings, obviously, Ethan to this village. And it's like, I just have so many questions. I'm like, why? Why is he off? Why is he off me? Why has he brought him here? Is he searching for someone? Is Jill in, or Claire, or whoever, Rebecca, whoever, I don't know, in cahoots with the tall vampire lady, Benroy? Are they part of the little cult here that's going on? I don't know.
I don't think he is, because I like, from that one still they showed us with the Umbrella logo, that just tells me that that's an old Umbrella. I'm just going to jump in and just push you out of the way here, Josh, and just say my theory. Yeah. That's like an old Umbrella facility that is just went derelict after Umbrella fell. And I think Tall Lady might have been working there or part of an experiment, and they've taken over. And how the werewolves come into this, like, no magic in Resident Evil. Just get over it now, anyone who wants magic, because they're not actually they're not actually witches with magic and that sort of thing. I'm sorry, everyone, it's not happening. go to some other game franchise now. Get out. No, don't get out. I'm just going to tell you my thing now, where it's the werewolf sort of like mutation is going to be part of another sort of like testing sort of virus. I mean, we've had giant snakes like twice in this series and other giant animals, and let's say like if they fuse DNA together in like another version of a tyrant, and where folklore is carried on throughout however long this castle has been standing, because Umbrella is very old at this point. Like, I felt like it's just become part of folklore, and these people believe these are actually like mystical monsters, when actually it's just something that's leaked out, a la sort of like a cabin in the woods, you know, when you see sort of things, but then it's all kept underground sort of thing.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. And do you think that the tall lady, who was confirmed to be 9'6", by the way, Capcom came out and there was a cool little reference that Xbox put out, where it was the Xbox Series X, it was the fridge, and then it was the tall lady, and it was just a nice little graph of everyone. Do you think that she is kind of like a direct part of what's going on, you know, like you say, in these potential facilities? Like, is she cognizant of what's happening, or is she just like something that's spawned out of it and kind of working autonomously, or does she know more than potentially we think she does, like in terms of the broader picture, in terms of, you know, the mechanics of how this village sort of came to be?
Well, let me tell you about Project W. I won't go into that much, but the Wesker children, like Wesker, Alex Wesker and Albert Wesker were part of the Wesker children. And this is a whole part of like the plot to have immortality. And like Tall Lady could be another like project sort of like that, or she could literally be a thrown over. She could have been an experiment, or I think someone who's sort of doing her own nefarious means. I would like her to be sort of having more of a smaller plot, like if she's somehow found this key to immortality, but she's got to eat people to keep going, things like that, and she progresses as rumors, then that's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Kind of like the Los Illuminados, but without trying to like go after the president, because that got a bit hokey there, sort of thing.
Yeah,
but I would love for the tall lady and is it three, are they daughters or sisters? I can't remember what she said. I would like them all to just be sort of like enjoying the control they have over this village, but also say like maybe poking around and like the wells or whatever they do call them are part of their experiment. And this might just be a holdover from either another version of Project W, like where immortality is the key. And Chris, maybe Chris and Ethan flying around like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take you to prison, yeah, and then they crash and then this sort of happens, because yeah. You know, we've seen flying things from Resident Evil 4. Maybe it's just a big bat thing that goes into the blades and then they crash and all Chris's mates die, them two get separated, and then as we see all the villagers come after him, and that big hairy thing of a hammer.
Yes, that Bloodborne boss, more or less.
Yeah,
like the whole vibe is quite Bloodborne, which is good for me because I love Bloodborne. There was an interesting thing that I want to go back to, because you mentioned like the folklore stuff and how this is obviously not going to be a form of magic. It's going to be very much in the Resident Evil vein of like these are going to be explained in terms of science or whatever.
Like nanomachines and just science. Like that's what you need to do. It's just the nanomachines of this universe.
It is. It's like it's a parasite, it's a virus, or it's like nanomachines, or something deaf like that. Well, what I was getting to is in the Famitsu article as well, they point out that the book that Mia had, like it reflects the village that Ethan and Chris end up in. And I wonder whether that's going to play into the fact or into the sort of realm of alternate dimensions, or at least the psyches of these characters being messed with. Because obviously the Baker family in Resident Evil 7, their minds were corrupted and they were kind of like changed from the inside out, forced to see different realities. I wonder whether there's still an element of that at play, or whether that seeped into Mia as well, and whether the landscape, this fantastical landscape, has been informed by maybe like obviously like real life folklore, books like what Mia is holding, you know, and that's how we've got these kind of creations, because they're not wholly original, maybe not entirely from, you know, an umbrella style biohazard experiment or something, but maybe they latch onto that psychic connection and draw from the manifestations that someone might have, you know, their own fears, in this case, the stories they've been told, you know, growing up, whether it's werewolves or vampires or whatever. I think that would be really cool. And again, give them the freedom to just go nuts with it, you know, for a little bit, just go completely wild.
Yeah, I really want them to play around with it now they've like shown the werewolf stuff and they've shown everything else. Like, just go into it and like actually have people believing for a while that it is. Sorry, I'm just looking at it. It was Oswald E. Spencer that was the guy, the head of Umbrella, who was trying to come in from immortality and screwed over other people in the lore, like James Marcus and all that. But yeah, I would love them to segue into that for a bit and like just go. Just get weird of it. Like, I feel like we are, like when we see like the old granddad with the flat cap in that house and not exactly like dog. I would like it to almost be like, so like the werewolves to be sort of like agile as a dog soldiers and sort of like hide and not just come out straight to you like, well, I know I can take loads of bullets, I'm just going to stand there and slap you. I want them to be more animalistic and sort of like, you know, prooding around. And I think it should go with it. And like, and also like we saw I don't think he's got a name yet, but Cheeky Man with Glasses. Have you got any rumors about him before I segue to Cheeky Man with Glasses?
I don't, but I'd like some predictions, please. So I don't know anything about this dude.
Now, the only reason anyone should really have Facebook anymore is like, I always like a bunch of like groups and I just go in there and see what people are thinking. And I've seen them like, I've seen people think that that guy is Lewis from like Resident Evil 4. Like, you know, when he got shanked by Resident Evil 4's version of Palpatine,
Interesting.
He just got infected and he's been dancing around for ages, but I don't think that's real. But like it looks like he's using magic at some point, but obviously he, like, some worldly things happened around him. But imagine if that was him, because, you know, he never left Europe and he's just been trudging around smiling all this time.
That'd be wild. That had not ever crossed my mind, but you know what? I'd take it. I'm kind of here because, you know, Resident Evil 6, we give it a lot of crap, but that was hyped so much at the time of being like the merging of all of these different Resident Evil storylines. It was the end game of Resident Evil, just not as good. But like, I'm here for like character returns like this. Obviously, we've got the merchant back in like a very different form. We've got this version of Chris. We've got even Ethan, who I never expected to see again in a Resident Evil game. Like, you know what I mean? So I would take this twist, for as daft as it is, for as silly as it might be. Like, sure, 100%. Let's just do some mad stuff, because this game, I originally had some reservations about it. I was like, this is too weird. Like, you can't do werewolves. You can't do this kind of weird village setting. Why does it all look scary? Why is it so fantasy? But now that I'm fully on board with it and I understand what they're going for, I'm here for like the melodrama of it, like the wackiness of the back half of Resident Evil 4 expanded to this full game. So yeah, sure, man. I'm like, I'm just going into this game like, Give me your strangest things, your strangest series. Come on.
Think of it like Mario. Like, it's just a way for them to, it's a way for Capcom to just make whatever they want with the Resident Evil trappings, but also carry on like this one narrative that's been going for so many years. Like Revelations 2 was just like, Saw's popular, let's make it all look like Saw sort of thing. So they can just do what they want. And like, I would really like, if, you know, when they talk about what they do, what they like, do what they want, returning characters, bring Jake Wesker back or Jake Mueller back and just have him like eating an apple and just still talking to that same little child that you'd see the bloody ending every four times you beat the game, and just have him even pop up for like 10 seconds. Like, just go, I'm Troy Baker, it's still here sort of thing, but I'm not going to say all those bad things I used to say. Like, I would get myself cancelled now. It's just like, yeah, that character was so weirdly not even of its time, like say 10 years too late. But I would love to see him come back in some sort of meaningful way, because you can't just forget the son of Wesker. And it's like, true. One of my mad theories that I'm going to say until it's disproved is I reckon he only exists because Wesker thought, I need another body that like could merge my DNA. And what if a bit of his like arm survived in that volcano and it just like turned into a little like Wesker slug, found him and just like got in one of his apples, it's biting, and then becomes Wesker. Like, what if Jake Wesker becomes Wesker in this? Like, that's just a mad theory I'm throwing out right now.
you know what? It is mad. It is crazy. But at the same time, like, this isn't a new rumor, but it's been going around for a long time before we even knew what Resident Evil 8 like properly was, that Wesker was going to return in some form, whether it was in the next big Resident Evil game, whether it was going to be in a spin-off or whatever. And they might do the Liquid Snake thing, man. Like you said, of grafting his arm onto Jake's and having him fight for his body. They might go full Palpatine and go down that route. That would be crazy. That would be very strange. But like I said, if they can bring someone like Ethan back and try to make him work and commit to them, then you can't forget, like you said, about the son of Albert Wesker, who, to be fair, I really enjoyed in Resident Evil 6, the gameplay style. And I think you can do something interesting with that character and, you know, talk about his heritage, talk about where he's come from and have him kind of grapple with that. There is some good drama to be, you know, mined from that. Before I move on to your thoughts on Resident Evil Reverse, do you have any final mad predictions for me?
That was my sort of maddest. That's the one I just want to come in and out. Like we didn't mention, but I reckon the baby is either going to be like sort of a source of a vaccine that we so dearly need right now, or it's going to be some sort of like, it's going to be a potential, like this could be a monster sort of thing. Like I think because Chris has got the baby, so the baby's obviously important that way. And don't forget, like Jill, like Sherry, Ethan and Mia both have been sort of like cured of whatever virus they've had, so they've got antibodies. And like with Sherry, she had like super healing abilities like Wolverine that like they just gloss over once in Resident Evil 6. So I think that the baby is going to be sort of key in that aspect as well.
I do have an addendum to add to this, Ben, because you've just sparked something in my mind when I was talking about like the book Mia had and whether it like the werewolves or whatever, the vampires, whatever, could be like partly a manifestation of that. I wonder whether that comes from the baby and what the baby's kind of like being taught. Maybe the baby, like you said, is this kind of has these powers or has these abilities that obviously it can't control because it's a child and it's projecting them out onto the real world. That would be, I think.
Or maybe Chris just shoots Ethan's wife dead, pulls him outside, and he goes, "Oh, kick the baby," and then the baby's gone, and then this is all, and then Ethan's just going after him for the whole time. Just thinking about that. Let's get our comedy back in Resident Evil. But we should probably segue over now to the Resident Evil Reverses or Reverse, or I don't remember the name of it. I played it for a couple of hours. Also whilst eating katsu curry nuggets, so that was my Friday. Both not as amazing as I thought they would be, but I'm going to shift over to the game. Imagine however old you was when you was playing the PlayStation 2, Josh. It's like the kind of era where, you know, like Time Splitters is out, Time Splitters 2, got some goofy sort of stuff, but then like you've got this Resident Evil game that controls a bit weird, is kind of broken in its structure from the get-go, and just feels like not even the era of like 360 where everything had to have a multiplayer. This was just saying that one of the guys and girls at Capcom were like, what if we just did this and just had all our characters in this? It just feels like some sort of weird bolted on thing. And before I go into any more detail, what do you have, any sort of predictions you want to ask me about anything because of what you've seen so far in the trailers and things?
Yeah, I really do, Ben Roy, because I'm wondering why Capcom keeps trying to make Resident Evil multiplayer happen, because I know they obviously there's a lot of money in it, but this feels very much like a similar approach to Resident Evil Resistance, which obviously was the multiplayer mode for Resident Evil 3. But it's like, I'm here. I genuinely am open for a multiplayer Resident Evil experience, but I'm looking at Reverse, I'm watching the trailers, I'm listening to what you're talking about, and I'm just like, this isn't it, is it? They haven't quite nailed it again, and they keep trying, and they try putting new spins on it, but it doesn't seem like it ever sticks.
They need to just do an Outbreak or an Outbreak remake, because that's what people are clamoring for, and I think that if that Outbreak even sold as much as like RE3, like RE2, it'd be like you've got all the tile sets. Like, I mean, it's not as easy to just go, now I'm just going to take everything out and put it here, but they've got stuff in motion. Like, just give us an Outbreak and an Outbreak 2, or put it all in one sort of thing and see how that goes, Capcom. But with this Versus thing, so you pick out like the main characters is what, like Jill, Chris, Leon, Ada, Claire, and Hunk, the legendary Hunk. Hunk's the guy. But the thing is, Claire and Ada don't have an automatic weapon. So anyone who picks them, just gets treated like a child and just gets destroyed, it's like kick the baby. Because everyone else has an automatic weapon. So not only do they have some sort of range, whereas like Leon doesn't have an automatic weapon either. So he's got a shotgun. But before he gets to you, you could be a Jill or a Chris or Hunk, who seems to be the best character, and just melt them. And then as soon as I realized this was a thing, that's all I was. And I just kept playing as Hunk and just ruining everyone, or like playing as Jill. Everyone has got like special abilities, like say they have like, say I've got a decent punch, but the range on it is terrible, and by the time you've pressed the button, they've walked around you. Or like Jill has, she drops landmines, and she's never done that before in the games, but you can just keep dropping like pretty much unlimited landmines and just make yourself like little section of the RPD and just defend yourself there. But also when you go around, I'm just trying to get through as quick as possible. When you go around the map, there's like biohazard containers. Now, when you die, you don't just die in this game. You become a bio monster. So you become the mama molded if you've got none of them. Out of Resident Evil 7 DLC, which not a lot of people would have seen, and you just run around, you can kill yourself. Or you become one of the creations in the sewers in Resident Evil 3. Can't remember their names. You know, the things that if they grabbed Jill, they would snap her in half, and it was really gory as hell. But shrunk down in size. And then if you collect two, you get the chance to become either Jack Baker or Mr. X, Super Mr. X, or then you also get a chance to become Nemesis. Now, I didn't get to play Jack Baker. I got the chance to play as everyone else. Super Mr. X was the best one because you literally just charge up and you just do that instant kill stab to loads of people and just wiping them out that way. And Nemesis was just funny to just chase Jill's. Nemesis like, ha, now it's my turn sort of thing. And shoot the rocket launcher. And yeah, everyone has this sort of like two moves. They're pretty basic. And then you just have, you like, say your two weapons and you can pick like a grenade launcher up. So yeah, there's two levels to it, but it's really choose someone with a machine gun, stay back, murder a load of people, pick up all three bio containers or two, I can't remember which one it was, then get Nemesis or Mr. X, and then just get revenge kills after that, and you're good to go.
It's so strange because when it comes to like this game in particular, like there's some cool concepts in there. Like some of the stuff you're describing there on paper could be really fun. Like you said, chasing Jill around as Nemesis or whatever. But I feel like the issue with these multiplayer games that Capcom have made around Resident Evil, they're always just like weirdly unbalanced. Like you said, here you just choose someone with a machine gun, and you're trying to get the best.
She's terrible in this.
Yeah, you're trying to get the best villain to be, and then you just win the game. Like, that's always been like, it always feels like these games are an afterthought, which sucks because obviously so much money is still spent on, you know, making them. And it's just like, I don't understand the reasoning for it, to be honest. And you know, you get, this is free if you get Resident Evil Village, like you get it free. Presumably, yeah, this is going to be, like I said, what Resistance was to Resident Evil 3. But there's like, I was looking on the official page for it, and it doesn't seem like there's next gen versions. It says that if you purchase Village for PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, you just get the PlayStation 4 version of this, and you get the Xbox One version of whatever console you buy it on. And even that's weird. It makes me think like, well, this, how long has this been in development? How fast was this pushed out? And why is it so half-assed like so many of these have been?
Look, if the other maps are anything to go by, it's just, well, the RPG had tight corridors, it's all dark and dingy. Just brighten it up, make the corridors bigger. Don't do cell shaded. It's what it is. It's like a cell shaded filter. It's not even the graphics themselves. So it's all the standard RE engine graphics. But then they've just gone like looking for a Snapchat and they found something. And like, yeah, that one. And then they put a weird filter on like that. And it controls all right. It controls like Resident Evil does now. But at the same time, it's fundamentally broken. And I can't say. Look, I'm just happy that this is a separate trophy list and it will be like Resistance Force, so I can get my plan and ignore it. And also, we should just say RE Resistance before we go, never broke 5,000 concurrents on Steam. So that's just a hint of how many people play it. But so I see my sister play it now every other day on PlayStation 4. And
well, I don't know what someone to join it then, right?
I don't know what she does, but then she's platinumed all the Kingdom Hearts games. So who knows? Do you have any more thoughts on anything Resident Evil before we resident out of here?
I think that's it. I think I'm all Resident Evil'd out. Sorry, I'm just handing my charger away. I've gone through all my predictions, gone through all my rumors, and I'm not looking forward to Resident Evil Reverse. That's where I'm at on this, but I'm looking forward to May coming around so I can play a proper next-gen Resi Evil. And Ben Roy, just between me and you, I'm thinking of going through Resi 5, 6, and 7 again because I've never played 7 outside of VR, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
There we go. Come on. I've done it. I did kind of like last year, and I just finished Resident Evil 6 again. I'm not going to do 7 because I did that last year. But yeah, I want to see you do that. And I also can't wait for our slumber parties, me, you, and Scott, when we play Resident Evil Reverses and we get 200 hours in there and we forget Warzone existed. Because no, who never wants to play Warzone or PUBG or anything? But anyway, this has been the What Culture Game Podcast. Hashtag WCGP. Let Scott know what you think of Destruction All-Stars and also ask him what he thinks of it. Review from Scott coming soon. I think he's going to do a whole tutorial on it, and will I have the whole website be splashed with it. So don't worry, we've got all that stuff coming. Josh, where can they follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at Josh Brown, but add an O in the brown, so it sounds like Josh Brune. Where I am.
Brune. You need to find that original Josh Brown and just buy him out.
I know.
Or just give it, just bash his
too
head
many,
in. Saying.
Too many Josh Browns.
And you can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. Changed my name when I was in year 10 of school, wherever that, if work out how that works in American time, but that's why I don't have a generic name. So at Ben Roy Turner, follow us at W Culture Gaming on Twitter. Follow, like, subscribe. And yeah, until next time, stars.
Stars.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.